My name is Henrik Kartna, H-E-N-R-I-K-K-A-R-T-N-A. And I guess the best way to describe myself is an actor, playwright, and mental health activist. So I'm just going to give you a brief bio of myself. I've been acting for about 15 years and writing for about six. I got into acting on a rare opportunity. Hard House at U of T used to have a once a year murder mystery night in April. But it was at the end of April, so they had a lot of problems finding students to come and participate. But my brother, being a grad of U of T, he recruited me, and I did that murder mystery night once a year for 4 years. I then went on to community theater. I did The Ideal Husband by Oscar Wilde with the Village Players in Bloor West Village. I also did Death Takes a Holiday with the now defunct Weston Little Theater. Being a consumer survivor, I worked at CAMH at Out of This World Cafe for 8 years. I'm not a patient with CAMH. I have nothing to do with them, but Workman Arts is open to anybody who's a consumer survivor. And so Out of This World Cafe, if you're a consumer survivor, you can get a job there. You don't have to be necessarily part of CAMH's program or anything like that. After that, I did Shakespeare with Workman Arts. I had no training. I have no training at all in acting. I just fell into it. So what more can I say about that? It's just I've just been very fortunate. While I was working at Out of This World Cafe, I got involved with Matthew Christie, or Mortimer Christie, as he's known pen-wise. If you ever see a play by him, go see it, if it's advertised or anything like that. I worked with the Harm Reduction Task Force, doing shows with Matthew. Unfortunately, when Stephen Harper got in, he killed that program. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Harm Reduction. You know, they give crack pipes to addicts on the street so they don't get AIDS or Hep C or whatever. So I did that for a while, and I also performed at the AIDS conference when it was in Toronto, not on the main stage, but on the what they call the West Pavilion. I did that with Matthew, and Matthew seems to have just disappeared. No one seems to know. He was going through a rough time, so I hope he's okay. But if you ever see a play by Mortimer Christie or Matthew Christie, go see it. And from Matthew, I was introduced with Ruth Stackhouse, who is just right here on my left, and the Friendly Spike Theater Band. And I've been working with them ever since. And with Friendly Spike, I performed in the Dagon Del Basset, which was a very good production, to say the least. And from then on in, we've been performing my work. My first play was Wrestling with Fear. That was about 3-4 years ago, right, Ruth?
You did The Walls Are Alive with the Sounds of
Yeah. We did the wall tour at CAMH, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the wall tour. Yeah, so we did that. Thanks, Ruth. I forgot that one.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Yeah, and then we did my work, Wrestling with Fear, which is about a paranoid young man who also has social issues to deal with. Now, this brings me to my new play, What's Next, the Big C being cancer. This is about a man struggling with schizophrenia who may now have cancer as he's been smoking for years and years. Bad, bad, bad. Before I get into the play, though, I want to just say that I'm also a psychiatric consumer survivor. I've been in and out of the system for years, since I was a teenager, and now I'm in my mid-50s, so I've seen both the good and the bad of the mental health system. I'm not, however, like some consumer survivors, anti-psychiatry. My mental health is very important to me, and So I'm more of an activist, you know, I write about these issues, I talk about them. So, you know, I'm very fortunate. I have, the medicine works well for me, and I have a good doctor who I've seen for the last 20 years. So I've been very fortunate. So, but I want to say this, though. I don't mean to diminish anyone who's had a negative experience with psychiatry. I know there's a lot of mediocre doctors out there, and I know that the medicines can have bad side effects. You know, so I'm not diminishing anybody's bad experience. But I'm just saying that, you know, you have to be a smart consumer. You have to shop around, you know. Sometimes you have to look around for the right doctor. You know, a lot of people, I know people who have seen a doctor 10 years and they can't stand the guy. So you have to be proactive. You know, that's all I'm going to say about that. Now I'll talk about my new play, What's Next to Big C, being cancer, of course. My play takes place on a psychiatric ward of a general hospital on the same day, but at different times. The main character is Tom, who's been suffering from schizophrenia and has been in and out of hospital his whole life. He's also a smoker who may now have cancer. There are other characters, of course, Donna, who rails against psychiatry and medication. There's Eva, who's new to psychiatry and has concerns about nutrition on her mental health. And then there's Gailey, who's a problem gambler and bipolar. And, you know, all these characters interact in their own way. They also have issues outside of psychiatry. You know, Eva wants to finish her degree and go to graduate school. Gailey has problems with her partner who controls her, rightly or wrongly, because she gambles. You know, he takes away her credit cards and wallet. And Donna, well, what can you say about Donna? She's more rebellious, and she's had some bad experiences with psychiatry. So she refuses medication. You know, I don't in the play state that anybody's certified, right? I'm just saying that, you know, Donna may well be certified because she is a bit rebellious. We don't know that. Ruth and I didn't really delve into whether someone's certified or anything like that. And there are, of course, a lot of deeper issues in this play. For instance, free will, how much do we really have? Tom, for example, started smoking as a teenager due to stress and anxiety, due to exams. The only part that's really autobiography in this play is the fact that I lost my mother at 10 years of age, just like Tom. And I started smoking a little bit in high school and then in my 20s, you know, when I was in a university and struggling with mental illness. So I started smoking then too, right? But you know, when you're a teenager in the 70s, psychiatry was a big taboo. And I didn't know anything about mental health, right? And I didn't know anything about it until my father got me in the hospital in my 20s. So, you know, so how much free will do we really have? If we have no knowledge, we have no free will. So I just throw that idea out to you. You know, if anybody thinks that, you know, we have perfect free will, that's a load of bullshit, as far as I'm concerned. Eric's smiling. Well, I'm quite serious. If you have no free will and no knowledge, you don't have free will, right? You can't really make informed choices. So. Now, in the play, I talk about some social, societal issues. I mean, in the play, Tom mentions to Dr. Rothman, who is inspecting him for cancer, that the way to handle society should handle tobacco is to buy out the tobacco companies at fair market value, put everyone on a non-smoking program, and ban the bloody stuff. See, I'm not, like, a lot of consumer survivors are pretty left-wing. I'm not. I believe that, you know, we should have a mixed society, you know, socialist and capitalist. And if you want to get rid of tobacco, just buy out the tobacco companies at fair market value. Because they have shareholders who've invested money, maybe their life savings in there, so why not just buy them out? You know, could you imagine if the US government bought out the gun companies? The murder rate would just drop to, you know, not nothing, but you know, it would be substantially less than it is now. And also, society has a lot of double-edged sword. It allows smoking, gambling, fast food, junk food, among other things. But if you smoke and get cancer, if you get a problem gambling, if you get diabetes or high blood pressure, society blames you, right? So it's a double-edged sword. We allow a lot of vices and things, but we don't really want to actually put out the tax dollars money to ban this stuff or you know, outlaw it. And of course, you know, there's the issue of mortality. Tom says he may have to give up his apartment and go into end-of-life treatment, palliative care, or die in a shelter for the homeless. You know, so I try to touch on mortality a little bit. It's an uncomfortable topic for a lot of people, but it's going to happen to all of us, so we have to face that fact. So if I decide to write a sequel, which I've thought about, I may have to delve into that, and assisted dying, euthanasia, right? I may have to deal with that if I'm going to write a sequel, right? You know, I haven't mentioned to Ruth that I'm going to write a sequel.
Very interesting, Henrik.
Pardon?
It's very interesting.
Yeah, so mortality is something that a lot of people don't like to think about. But after you get older, like I lost my father 5 years ago, right? So when you lose a parent when you're 10, you don't necessarily think about your own mortality. But when you're in your 50s and you lose your father, who's in his early 90s, it really hits you, the whole issue of mortality, right? So Tom is really quite serious. He may have to die palliative care, a hospice, or a shelter for the homeless. So, okay, and now, you know, one more point, a couple more points. People like to talk about personal responsibility, but, you know, more and more we're learning the genetics in play with lifestyle. You know, it has a lot to do with whether you get cancer or high blood pressure. So I'm not really into the blame game of blaming people. You know, you smoked so long you get cancer. You know, there's genetics, lifestyle. You know, what about all the pollutants in the air from cars and factories? So I'm really not obsessed with personal responsibility. You know, in some way we're more victims than anything else. Anyway, come and see the play, and anybody want to talk about, I'm free to talk about any of this. You know, I'm finished my presentation, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, come on, Angel. Thanks. Let's give Henrik a hand for an excellent presentation.
Oh, thank you.